Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And here we are on a Wednesday of Holy Week. Good to be with you on a Wednesday and every day here at Catholic Connection. Before we get into the rundown, I do want to mention that today is a very special day. Obviously, it's Holy Week, but in addition to that, today is the anniversary of the passing of our foundress, Mother Angelica. She was born April 20th, 1923, 101 years ago. And I just wanted to say just a few words. I could say so much about her. Obviously, a huge fan of her forever. And I thought about her, well, I think about her a lot. And I love watching some of the old clips and listening to them because it's just, they're evergreen and just so timely and timeless at the same time. You know what I'm saying? That they apply to everything because they're just real based on the truth and her unique way of delivering the gospel message. But I was thinking about her and her suffering and her efforts to found this network when I was having a lovely email conversation with a listener of ours who's actually going to be on tomorrow. He is coming into the Catholic Church, Keith from Pennsylvania, this weekend, and he credits Catholic Connection and our other programs at EWTN, the Mass that is broadcast, of course, every day here beautifully, for a big effort that led him into the Catholic Church. And I thought, wow, I can remember hearing Mother Angelica say on the air so many times, if only one person returns or comes into the church because of this network, all of the effort, all of the suffering, all of the struggling would have been worth it. Well, she knows now how many people, and she's hearing a lot, I'm sure, from a lot of people in heaven. But again, just the effort and the suffering that she went through to bring this network forward and to keep it on the air, help keep it on the air through her prayers now and her intercession for so many decades, it's just phenomenal. Mother Angelica, pray for us. And I'm sure you all have your own thoughts as you think about the anniversary today of the passing of the amazing Mother Angelica, Rita Rizzo from Canton, Ohio. Thank you for everything you've done. All right. And the show goes on because that's what Mother Angelica wants us to do. So when we come back after the news, we are going to, speaking of faith and family, our EWTN family, we are going to be gathering a good group of us, God willing, in July up at the beautiful Grand Hotel in northern Lower Michigan. And we are offering you the opportunity to join us. It's going to be phenomenal. It's right after the Eucharistic Congress. And our very own Father John Ricardo, Scott and Kimberly Hahn, Father Josh Johnson, they're going to be joining us for the Grand Getaway, and it's a beautiful opportunity. Maybe you've never been to Michigan. Maybe you've heard or seen some of the commercials, you know, Pure Michigan. Well, Michigan in the summertime, well, Michigan is a beautiful state. I'm somewhat biased because it's my home state, obviously. But especially in the summertime in the northern parts of the state, because it's beautifully warm, but it's not humid. And then you have the colors of the water, the Great Lakes, and the flowers, and the pine trees, and there's just something magical about it. And then you have this incredible setting of the gorgeous Grand Hotel in the middle of it all. So we're going to be talking with John Hale from Corporate Travel and also David Jursak, who's the president of the Grand Hotel. And then at the bottom of the hour, Michael New is going to be joining us, senior associate scholar for the Charlotte Lozier Institute. He's going to be talking about the American Medical Association in their publication, JAMA, the Journal of the American Medical Association, talking about mifepristone and how they put out this paper, this information study or whatever it was, and he'll give us the details. I'm just so upset about the article when I read it. I'm losing my train of thought. It's one of those things that just gets your temper a little bit riled. But they're trying to say that the side effects are not that big of a deal, and more information shows that the drug is not that much of a problem. And these are medical people, okay? These are medical experts saying this. And so you've got all of these different groups that are in this movement to try and impact the Supreme Court, which heard the case right yesterday, is going to be making a decision on the restrictions regarding mifepristone coming up in June. And Michael talks about this in his article that was posted on the National Review this week about how sinister it is for them to put this out there a day before the Supreme Court took up the case. Coincidence? We think not. So we'll chat with Michael New, and then wrapping up as we always do on a Wednesday morning with our very own Joan Lewis from Roma. Weather-wise, we've got some storms that are moving through across the country, so let's take a look at what the National Weather Service is saying. We have strong to severe thunderstorms, and the weather experts say these storms are actually capable of producing some pretty damaging winds and they'll continue to move across the Midwest and the eastern Gulf Coast through tonight. And then we have heavy snow and blizzard conditions diminishing across the upper Great Lakes. However, they say some lingering snow accumulations are likely through this evening. 5 minutes past the hour on a Wednesday morning of Holy Week. Thanks for tuning in to EWTN. A lot of news with an update on the bridge in Baltimore story as well as the Supreme Court case. So let's get started on a Wednesday. Oral arguments presented, as we mentioned, to the Supreme Court yesterday in a case that could limit access to the abortion drug mifepristone. Justices reviewing an appeals court decision blocking recent FDA removal of restrictions that made the potent abortion drug more widely available. Erin Hawley with Alliance Defending Freedom representing the pro-life doctors group suing the FDA.
FDA's outsourcing of abortion drug harm to respondent doctors forces them to choose between helping a woman with a life-threatening condition and violating their conscience. This Hobson's choice is intolerable.
She argued if complications emerge from medication abortions, pro-life doctors could be forced to choose between helping a woman with life-threatening conditions and violating their own conscience. Several hundred pro-life and pro-abortion activists, meanwhile, as Catholic News Agency explains, held dueling rallies outside the High Court building yesterday as the justices were hearing the oral arguments in the high-stakes abortion case. At the pro-life rally, abortion demonstrators blasting loud music in an attempt to drown out the pro-life speakers. And during a few tense moments, the Capitol police officers who lined the street had to intervene a bit to separate the two groups as the demonstrators' exchanges did become somewhat heated. Now on to the bridge story. Faith communities across the Baltimore area offering prayers and assistance following the collapse of the Key Bridge. Baltimore Archbishop William Lurie last night leading a special mass at the Cathedral of Mary, our Queen.
We gather tonight, the end of this tragic day, to pray for all of those affected by the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge.
There was also a prayer vigil at Mount Olive Baptist Church at Turner Station in the Baltimore area that the mayor attended as well as the local county executive. And meanwhile, divers will be returning to the Baltimore Harbor today to look for six people presumed dead after a cargo ship hit a major Maryland bridge. The search for the missing workers suspended last night because of diminished visibility and treacherous currents in the busy harbor in that area. The workers were thrown into the water early Tuesday when a loaded cargo ship again plowed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge, causing it to collapse. And the Maryland governor, Wes Moore, says a shift from a search and rescue to a recovery operation at the Key Bridge was a heartbreaking conclusion to a very challenging day yesterday. He added that he has received, though, offers of assistance, prayers, and support from all around not only the country, but the world.
It's been truly awe-inspiring, the amount of outreach that we have received from other states, from other nations, from the private sector, from philanthropy. We are watching just people's hearts on full display, and it's very touching.
And Mark Mayfield tells us trade experts fear, meanwhile, the Baltimore Bridge collapse could disrupt global supply chains.
Last year, over 47 million tons of foreign cargo passed through Baltimore Harbor. Officials on Tuesday said maritime traffic through the port is being suspended until further notice after a loaded cargo ship plowed into a bridge crossing the harbor. The head of the Institute of Export and International Trade said the suspension could have a significant ripple effect on global supply chains. He told the BBC that over 750,000 vehicles moved through Baltimore last year, noting that Baltimore is also a major exporter of liquefied natural gas for Europe.
Even if it's not easy when a Christian practices a difficult virtue of patience, they do bear witness to the love of Christ. Pope Francis making that point today during his weekly general audience of Holy Week, the Wednesday of Holy Week, originally scheduled to be held in St. Peter's Square today, but had to be moved inside to the Paul VI Hall at the last minute due to rain. This week, the Holy Father continued his catechetical series on vices and virtues. After a number of months dedicated to vices, he recently transitioned to discussing virtue last week, focusing on prudence, and this week on patience. At the root of patience, he said, is love, even if being patient often is not easy, the Holy Father reminding those before him of how patient the Lord is with us. And the Pope, meanwhile, has written to Catholics in the Holy Land, assuring them that they are in his thoughts every day, in his prayers. In his letter released today, the Holy Father recognizes the special significance of Easter for those who live in the places sanctified by the Lord's life, death, and resurrection. Acknowledging the desire of Christians to remain in the lands they have dwelt in for centuries, the Holy Father says it's good that they should remain and thanks them for their faith, charity, and hope. The Pope going on to recall, as Vatican News explains, his own pilgrimage to the Holy Land back in 2014, and repeating the words of St. Pope Paul VI, who warned of the constant and dire threat to peace and security and to human values of continuing tensions in the Middle East. Thousands expected to gather in Nashville today to remember the victims of the Covenant School shooting. Today is the one-year anniversary of the private Christian school shooting that claimed six lives. The nonprofit group Voices for a Safer Tennessee organizing an event to honor the victims and says about 13,000 people are expected to form a four-mile human chain, starting at the Children's Hospital where the victims were taken and leading to the state capitol. Pro-Palestinian protesters interrupting Joe Biden's remarks on health care in North Carolina yesterday during an event in Raleigh. Protesters shouting, "What about health care in Gaza?" and hospitals in Gaza are being bombed. Biden responded to the crowd by saying the protesters had a point and that more care needs to get into the Gaza area. Those with U.S. green cards, Haitian nationals, and others with proper documents continue flying from Haiti to Miami to escape gang violence and unrest. Sandy Dordz-Vainsville with the Little Haiti Cultural Center says right now they're helping at least 30 people.
We're helping them either locate their families, apply for assistance if they qualify for it, find legal services if they need it.
She says they're in need of the basic necessities of food, toiletries, and clothing. The U.S. government operating its first evacuation flight out of Haiti last Sunday. This week, the State Department also began chartering helicopter flights to carry American citizens from Port-au-Prince to the Dominican Republic. And finally, in our news segment on a busy Wednesday morning, Wednesday of Holy Week, it is March 27th, 2024, the Internal Revenue Service is reminding taxpayers who itemize about charitable donation rules. Here's Christopher Miller with the IRS's Midwest office.
The donation has to be to a qualified organization. It must be made in the calendar year for which you're filing taxes.
And he says taxpayers also must have a record of the donation. The charitable contribution deduction cannot be more than 60% of your adjusted gross income. Miller says most folks take the standard deduction. Going into Catholic Connection on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll be talking about a very special event we would love you to be a part of. Stay tuned.
The Catholic and Franciscan Friars welcome you to celebrate the Passion and Resurrection of our Lord by making a pilgrimage to the Solanas Casey Center in Detroit. The center is open to pilgrims and visitors from 9 to 5, Tuesday through Sunday. Worship with them at daily mass at 7:30 a.m. or on Sundays at 9 o'clock a.m. Confessions Tuesday through Saturday from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Visit SolanasCasey.org for more information, including the Holy Week worship and devotion schedule, as well as the cafe and gift shop hours.
Welcome to an Advanced Dentistry Center family. This is Dr. Metti, and our team strives to treat you like family in a loving and compassionate way as we focus on serving you in a Christ-like manner. We do this by emphasizing prevention and general well-being for a lifetime. Our private practice is small, personal, state-of-the-art, and innovative, with the goal to educate and motivate our patients in improving their oral health. It is through a partnership with you that you will achieve the goals for your smile. Advanced Dentistry is serious about the level of care we provide, with attention to details and an exceptional level of care, skill, and judgment. We are thrilled for the opportunity to serve you.
Dr. Matthew and the team invite you to visit them at AdvancedDentistryCenter.com or call them at 248-594-9592. That's 248-594-9592. AdvancedDentistryCenter.com.
From Karen Kingsbury Productions comes Someone Like You.
It's a beautiful morning.
I fell in love with London Quinn in high school.
When everything is lost,
I'm so sorry.
Love will lead you home.
You can't bring her back, man.
Do I look like London?
She always wanted me to find someone like you.
Thank God I do.
Someone Like You. This film is not yet rated. In theaters, April 2nd. More information is available at someonelikeyou.movie.
We know it's spring on the calendar, but across the country, many people are still feeling the effects of winter. And that's why it's nice to think summer thoughts and warm thoughts. And that makes me think about northern Michigan, especially in the summertime. And beautiful Mackinac Island and the exquisite Grand Hotel. On the phone with us, David Jersak, the president of the Grand, and John Hale, president of Corporate Travel. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us. And John, let me go to you first. We were just talking about the weather in Michigan, which is pretty dreary right now, and the thoughts of the beautiful water of the Straits of Mackinac and the summer breezes and the cupola and the big pool, all of that just has me summer dreaming. Good morning. How about you?
Oh, Teresa, I always dream of the Grand Hotel. It's the most picturesque scene you can imagine, and I always say that Mackinac Island in general, and in particular the Grand Hotel, are like Technicolor. It's the most vibrant of colors, from the straits to the flowers to the decor at the Grand Hotel, with a phenomenal history going back to 1887. It's truly one of the most special places, I think, in the United States, and you know, a lot of our friends over the years have come from across the United States, and we have in the last several years, Teresa, drawn a lot of folks from the South who want to escape the
humidity,
and the heat during the summer, and come up to a place where there just is no humidity. It's the most beautiful, perfect weather, and one of the most picturesque places. And I've had the privilege to travel a lot of places around the world, not just the United States, and the Grand Hotel on Mackinac Island is truly one of my favorite, and this is a very special program.
Yeah, David, I have to say that when I was there the last year for a Grand Getaway, and I grew up in Michigan, as you know, I'm originally from the East Coast, but I grew up in Michigan, and we've come to Mackinac Island as a child, and I can remember seeing the Grand Hotel and being so impressed by it. But even just being there last year, as many times as I've been to Mackinac, which is a great privilege to have that opportunity and only be a few hours away, the beauty last year just struck me. I don't know what it was. It was just really, I'm thinking, wow, what an incredible area. So let's talk about the importance for you as a president of this magnificent location to have a family event that brings together so many people year after year with like-mindedness and wanting to uplift families. Is that, that's important to you, right?
It's hugely important to us, you know, and that goes, you know, and thank you both for the incredible compliments. It's a great way to wake up in the morning and start my day. people gushing over Grand Hotel, Mackinac Island. And it's been the same for years, and we just want to capitalize on what an incredible place and truly Americana, one of a kind, to bring your family, have, you know, your children, be able to walk around with or without you and feel safe and feel the connection. And funny thing is, our theme this year is Season of Connection.
Mm.
One of the reasons we picked it is because, just like you said, you know, both of you have come back year after year, and your families have come back, and it's just the connection to the island, it's a connection to family, you know, it's just a connection to, you know, anything that, and any memory that you have had on the island over the years. Every time you get off the ferry, you reconnect, and it's something special about that place. And I look forward, I move back up next Wednesday. And looking forward to it.
Yeah. John, let's talk about the actual program, because the another incredible lineup, of course. Our listeners know well Father John Ricardo, Father Josh Johnson, and, of course, Scott and Kimberly Hahn. So let's talk about how this rolls out over the couple of days that people are there for the Grand Getaway.
You know, we put together a really nice balance so that you can experience the resort, and David and his team have put just tremendous resources into building out the pool area, the all the recreational facilities. So there are so many ways to relax and rehabilitate again in this enormously beautiful setting on the resort. So we want to give people that opportunity to experience the resort, experience the island, take a bike ride, take a carriage ride, experience the Victorian downtown, but then also have our own programming and to be filled up and nourished, because we live, you know, frankly, it's like no other time in history, I think, of just a lot of pressure bearing on us and bearing on our faith, and we want people to feel uplifted. And while it feels that way, I think if you know history, you know that this is kind of the consistent theme. So what we feel that we can do is bring people together, bring a community of great folks together who, you know, are looking for the meaning. We know our meaning is in Christ, and we have these incredible speakers. Father John Ricardo, who's just, I mean, how can you describe a mass and a talk by Father John? Kimberly and Scott Hahn, just you know, you'll come away so edified. And then Father Josh Johnson, who's doing incredible things at his parish and in the South and throughout the country through his work with Ascension. And we find that just in these 3 days, people feel like they've been gone a week or a month because of the rest. And that community and the and fun. Teresa, we always have a lot of fun. I mean, the Grand Hotel has a beautiful orchestra, band, and from, you know, the youngest to the oldest, we find ourselves on the dance floor after a beautiful five-course meal that's, of course, all included. And we just feel nourished and refreshed and allow God to pour into us over these days so that we can go out and be joyful disciples and be joyful witnesses. And that's important. But you can't give away what you don't have. So these few days are that opportunity, we feel, for people to be refreshed and renewed, again, at the resort, in nature, and then in particular in our speakers. And it's just a lot of fun.
Talking with John Hale, president of Corporate Travel, and David Jursak, president of the Grand Hotel, about the annual Grand Getaway on Mackinac Island coming up starting on July 22nd. So it's after the Eucharistic Congress, so you won't miss that. Or maybe you're not going to the Congress and are going to be watching it on EW10 and listening to it, and you can come up early and spend a few extra days on the island. David, what is it like for you to see, because you're there when these events are occurring, and you're seeing people laughing and having a really great time, and especially, for example, all the children that come on this particular event and end up on the dance floor, and you see these young people that are just really enjoying your facility, your hotel. These are teenagers and college kids who are out there having a great time with other teenagers and college kids.
And it's the best. And as John mentioned, you know, the event is spectacular, but then when you leave the event, when you leave the ballroom, And you have the opportunity to go reflect or fellowship or hang out with other people, you know, whether at dinner, whether dancing, or just on the front porch. That's what Grand Hotel lends that opportunity to you. There's no hustle and bustle. You don't got to get back in your car, run out to the parking lot, and go do something else. You know, you're there, and you're there to not only celebrate Christ and be a part of this incredible event, but also celebrate just being, again, season of connection, just being connected to other like-minded individuals, people that you can share with, and all the things that the resort offers, and places to gather and places to get away. To me, I think this conference, and I thank John for bringing it to us year after year, but I think, you know, we support the conference with just our surroundings because it just separates from any other place you could potentially be.
So, David, do you have, and this is like just a little insight, I'm always just curious, do you have a favorite area of the hotel? Is it the front porch, the huge porch? Is it the pool area? Is it the grounds in front of the, I mean, there's just so many places, the cupola. Is there like a place that you like to go and just kind of look around and see the grandeur of the grounds in the Grand Hotel?
So when you talk to a general manager of a hotel or a president of a hotel, you should never ask him that, because it's like asking who's your favorite child.
But, hey, but I'm a reporter. I have to. You know that. Come on.
I think the porch is, because, you know, dating back to, you know, our initial founding, you know, the founding was to get people out of, you know, the old 1887 dirty cities and the heat and all that of, you know, those major cities, and bring them up to northern Michigan. Mm-hmm. But then everybody really escaped outside. We used to have music outside. We're going to re-engage that this year. We're actually going to have some of our orchestra prior to dinner outside, just so that people move out just like we used to. But it's a place all day, whether it's somebody having coffee in the morning or somebody having, you know, just watch the moon, you know, cascade over the Mackinac Bridge. There's people out there all the time, and I love to talk, and I love to storytell and hear about where people are from, and I love that John mentioned people coming from the South and getting out of that crazy heat.
We had a whole group from Texas last year, and they loved it. They were raving not only about the hotel, but about the weather and how it was so comfortable and warm, but still, you know, no humidity and beautiful breezes. John, we have about 2 minutes left, so I just want to give you a chance to give the details. I know they can register through the Ave Maria Radio travel page. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and look at the travel section, but also CTSCentral.net as well. So tell us in terms of the lineup, how many days and what the price includes.
Sure. It's July 22nd to the 24th. We have, you know, we arrive, you have that first day, we always celebrate Mass, and then have a talk, and then this five-course meal, and then dancing and card playing, you know, just enjoying the resort. The next morning, Teresa, we have your show, and mm-hmm. we have full breakfast, and then some recreation on your own during the day or with others who are traveling. And then we repeat with Mass, and a speaker, and then little programming the morning we leave. And then you're free to enjoy the island and come back down. So again, July 22nd to the 24th of this summer. And you can book online, as you said, Ave Maria Radio, or corporate travel is ctscentral.net, or call 800-727-1999, 800-727-1999. And, you know, we always look forward to coming back up because, David, you always add more and special features to the hotel, and we're excited to see what you'll all do, and just to be up there in that water. And, you know, and that's the thing, Teresa, the water.
You know, water.
I remember years ago.
I
go to different places, and nothing compares to the Great Lakes. They're just incredible.
Yeah, just beautiful. David Jurczak, president of the Grand Hotel, and John Hale, president of Corporate Travel, talking about our annual Grand Getaway. Check it out, ctscentral.net or avemariaradio.net, our travel page. You can email me if you have any questions. And Catholic Connection, God willing, will be live again from the magnificent Grand Hotel on beautiful Mackinac Island. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's a Wednesday, Catholic Connection, and so appreciate the great work of our friend Michael New, Senior Associate Scholar, Charlotte Lozier Institute, although I have to say the latest article that he posted really got my Italian up. Michael, it's just so frustrating, and the timing of it, as you mentioned in your piece regarding JAMA, was certainly not a coincidence. So appreciate you coming on, and give us a summary briefly, and then I have a number of questions about what you were saying in the article regarding what JAMA is claiming now. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Much appreciated. Sure. Earlier this week, JAMA, Journal of the American Medical Association, released a study, and it showed that there was a very large increase in online orders for chemical abortion pills after the Dobbs decision. They found that roughly in the 6 months after Dobbs, 27,000 chemical abortion pills were ordered online through various kind of online vendors. And I think that the timing of the release of the study was not coincidental. We had a Supreme Court hearing yesterday about regulations pertaining to chemical abortions, and I think the other side was just trying to show that, you know, policy efforts, legislative efforts to limit the use of chemical abortions are bound to fail. And again, I think the timing was designed to influence both the media coverage and potentially the outcome of the Supreme Court case.
Do they think, that the Supreme Court is sitting around waiting for these studies to come out or taking a look at what the Journal for the American Medical Association has to say before they go into court? I mean, what's your response to that? Because certainly they may think they have a lot more pressure available to be put on, you know, an institution like the Supreme Court than they really do. What do you think?
Well, I really would hope that the Supreme Court judges just consider the evidence that's presented and not be distracted by media coverage or protests or studies that come out the week of the oral arguments. But I will say that studies like this can often affect the media coverage and can often affect the narrative that surrounds a certain case.
Mm-hmm.
So even if, you know, the study isn't read or directly considered by the judges, it can affect the media coverage and it can affect some of the narrative.
So what do you advise faithful Catholics to do? Because I've been talking a lot about the media, especially this week, given the case that was heard at the Supreme Court yesterday. And, of course, the bishop's asking us to pray. The decision is coming down in June. And from what I'm seeing, and I listened to a little bit of the live coverage yesterday and also the actual hearing, which you can go on to the Supreme Court website and actually listen to live, at least the audio version of it. And it sounds like they were deferring, speaking of the justices, and this is just my take on it. I could be wrong. I'm not a lawyer. But it sounded like they were deferring more to the FDA. And any thoughts at this point?
Essentially the main argument the other side put forth was that these pro-life doctors didn't really have appropriate standing to sue in this case. And I think standing was probably the best argument the other side had. And they may have, I hate to say it, landed a few punches. It seems that some of the judges found that line of argument persuasive. Now, our side did have good responses, I thought. You know, the pro-life doctors are affected by rules that make chemical abortion pills more available. They may have to assist, complete a failed abortion. If a woman does a chemical abortion and it, you know, doesn't work, you know, a pro-life doctor may have to, you know, violate his conscience and complete that abortion. It may also increase health insurance premiums, because, you know, these chemical abortion pills, you know, are in fact dangerous. So our side did have some good talking points. I'd also say that historically, Supreme Court has always allowed abortion doctors to litigate against pro-life laws. So it really seems kind of unfair that, you know, you really would not let a pro-life doctor do the same thing. So, again, I think the standing issue is certainly important. Our side, I think, did have some decent arguments, but right now we just have to pray and hope the Supreme Court found that persuasive.
Yeah, it is. It is frustrating, though, because if heaven forbid, and I hope this doesn't happen, if they rule against the pro-life doctors, and of course this is going right into the election season with the abortion issue being a pretty large issue, although most people, if you look at the surveys, are, at least from a secular perspective, are looking at the economy and immigration as top issues. But certainly this will be a huge, huge talking point for the left and for the leftist politicians going into the election and pushing for more abortion. Now, in terms of the Journal of the American Medical Association, it's very frustrating also to see this group of medical experts time and time again. There's such an agenda, even within the medical community, is there not, regarding, you know, taking a pro-abortion or pro-chemical abortion, but abortion in general stance, supporting it.
Right. I mean, they've, you know, right now what really concerns me is just the politicization of academic journals. This is not the first time they've released a study to, in my opinion, try to impact a policy decision. You know, back in around 2010, New England Journal of Medicine released a very superficial analysis of Massachusetts abortion trends and tried to make the argument that insurance coverage of abortion would not affect abortion rates. You know, they've also released studies, you know, that have claimed that there was an increase in the Texas birth rate, you know, after funding cuts to Planned Parenthood. That was, you know, designed to impact the ruling in the case involving conscience rates, you know, over the contraceptive mandate. So, again, this is not the first time we've seen, you know, an academic journal really go ahead and try to influence, you know, a decision like this. Again, I think academic journals should stick to publishing high-quality research. They shouldn't have a political agenda, and they shouldn't be timing studies in this way.
Now, it's a shame, though, because people take these very seriously because they claim, well, these are the medical experts saying this or that about a major issue. So it can be very frustrating. So in terms of the Supreme Court case, it sounds like you're optimistic at this point that it could go in favor of, you know, putting some additional or putting those restrictions back on mifepristone. What do you think at this point, Michael?
It's hard to say. I mean, again, I think that, you know, we had some very solid arguments. You know, essentially in 2016, the Supreme, you know, the FDA, I should say, really loosened the rules regarding access to mifepristone. They increased the gestational age from 7 to 10 weeks. They allowed non-doctors to prescribe and administer chemical abortions. They decreased the number of in-person visits from 3 to 1. And in 2021, they dispensed the in-person requirement for dispensing these drugs, allowing for effectively mail-order chemical abortions. I don't want to get real technical, but when the FDA makes policy changes, they have to provide, you know, appropriate research and appropriate documentation. They did not do that here. That's very clear. The main issue kind of at play is standing. And did these pro-life doctors, were they kind of hurt by these rule changes? So it's really hard to say how the Supreme Court will rule based on the questions they're answering, oral arguments. You know, I think our side did have good arguments, good responses. Right now, I just think the best we can do is pray, and we'll find out what the Supreme Court rules probably in June.
Yeah. Michael, thank you for your time and for all your hard work that you do to keep us up on the research that's out there and where it's coming from and the agendas that might be within it. Michael New, Senior Associate Scholar at the Charlotte Lozier Institute and Assistant Professor of Practice at the Catholic University of America, frequent guest on this program and many others, and a contributor to, again, the National Review online publication. You can always find his great articles there. And again, Michael, appreciate you joining us. Wishing you an early happy Easter this Holy Week and hope it's going well. Thanks for joining us, Michael. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Much appreciated.
All right. Have a great week and a great Easter. Just about 36 minutes past hour, we are about to take our next break, and then we are going to go to the eternal city of Rome. A couple of big stories we're following for you. How is the Holy Father doing health-wise? There were some questions about that, because over the weekend, if you recall, he decided not to read his Palm Sunday homily, but he did give a brief message for the Angelus shortly after. And so we'll see how the Holy Father is doing. Also, a beautiful message to those in the Holy Land for Easter. And we'll have an update also on what else is happening this week with the very busy schedule of the Pope in Rome for Holy Week. We'll be right back. Joan Lewis joins us live. Thanks for tuning in to Catholic Connection, co-produced by Ave Maria Radio, of course, and EWTN. We'll be right back. always love catching up with my sister Joan Lewis in Rome, and this is a very busy week, the holiest of weeks, and some concern, and you mentioned this in our, talked about this in our emails back and forth about the Holy Father, because his voice seemed to be questionable over the weekend. He did not end up reading his homily for Palm Sunday Mass, but he did do the Angelus message. So good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, good morning. No, there were a lot of concerns on Palm Sunday. I had seen the entire Mass because I'm very active in my own parish, of course, in Holy Week, but I did watch the absolute entire video of the Palm Sunday celebrations in St. Peter's Square. And the Holy Father, he has mobility problems, which we've known for quite some time, but because of those ongoing problems, he was already seated in front of the altar at the start of Mass. He read an opening prayer in a very weak voice, and if you listen closely, you could hear the breathing issues through the microphone. And then, as you said, remarkably, mm-hmm. for the first time in the memory of all of those of us who ever have covered a public papal Mass, he did not deliver a homily. Now, I learned 2 days ago at an event that from someone whom I trust implicitly, very knowledgeable, we used to work in the Vatican, that the Pope was handed his glasses on Sunday by an assistant. So that kind of looks like he had the intention to read. How much before the homily, I don't really know if that happened. But in any event, we know he did not read it. So it sounds like it was a very last-minute decision, because in the past month, the Pope has had an aide read general audiences and many other things. So, and no aide was there. And then the press office to this very minute has never, no surprise, but has not said anything about that silence. But you're right, he did stand briefly for the final blessing, very brief words. And then seated again, he prayed the Angelus. And they've pretty much been a little bit shorter than usual. The preceding Sunday, he appeared at the window of his study overlooking St. Peter's Square, but the Angelus was like 8 or 9 minutes, 7, 8, 9, instead of the usual 15 or more. And the Holy Father, of course, talked about that horrific event in Moscow where over 130 people were killed. He spoke of martyred Ukraine and Gaza at the Angelus. So, but then afterwards, he was in the white papal jeep. He circled St. Peter's Square for well over 15 minutes and smiling, you know, certainly seemed to enjoy that. But in general, Teresa, I mean, he does seem to do better when he is seated, as opposed to, like in today's general audience, which, by the way, was moved inside. It was going to be in St. Peter's Square, as it has been for 2 weeks, but because mm-hmm. of the rain, it was moved inside. I don't even know if everybody got a seat, to be honest. But in any event, the Holy Father did read the entire catechesis today, and his voice did sound stronger. So, mm-hmm. and any time, I guess, there's been a period of him being seated or resting for a while, he did walk into the Paula VI Hall, walked in on the stage using his cane. And then, interestingly enough, after the audience, we saw him in his wheelchair, wheeled away from his seat, and the camera stopped, the Vatican media stopped showing the audience, okay, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for, you know, being here. And I thought, oh, my goodness, where is he going? Well, the Pope, I don't know how, there must be a ramp. He went from the stage to the floor level where the faithful are, and that's where he met two men, fathers, one Israeli and one Arab, who had each lost a daughter in recent years because of violence in the Holy Land. So mm-hmm. Their names, their presence in Rome, had been brought to the attention of the Pope. As a matter of fact, he met them separately even before the audience. So it was a very moving encounter, and then the Vatican, of course, has posted pictures. But while the Pope was giving his audience, which was all about the virtue of patience, and he at one point kind of interrupted himself, and he pointed right to the first row of people, to two men on the right end as you're looking at the audience, and mentioned them and why they were there. And it's very interesting because right now, or now for a few years, they have been collaborating. They found each other and they found solace in their mutual grief, something that obviously any parent listening to us cannot imagine, the loss of a child. And so these two men, with their grief, bonded, and they are now working for an agency that is trying to promote peace. So very, very interesting today. But Teresa, the whole thing is, and you opened really with this, but it's the concern for the Holy Father's. Okay, today was good. There were just a couple times when off the cuff his voice was a little weak, but he read everything well. But gosh, we have to look to Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday.
Right, and Saturday and Sunday, right. Yeah.
Yeah, just Holy Week. I mean, we've got the Chrism Mass on Holy Thursday. And then in the afternoon for the Mass of the Lord's Supper, he is going to a prison as is his wont to do on Holy Thursday afternoon. Friday, of course, we have the Way of the Cross, but Matteo Bruni, the head of the press office, did tell the media that weather conditions in particular, would have to be right for the Holy Father to go, that you couldn't possibly have a day like we've had today, gray and cloudy and rainy, or an evening, for the Way of the Cross at the Colosseum. Because the Holy Father sits up on a hill, as we all know, and he sits up on a hill overlooking the Colosseum, and if you want to be in an area where wind is going to show itself, that certainly would be it. So, and that's just Friday. Then Saturday, Holy Saturday, of course, the Vigil, Mass, and new people received it, new Catholics received into the Church. And then Sunday, the Mass and the Urbi and Orbi. So a huge physical strain, and we will be watching the Holy Father every minute, but more importantly, we will be praying for him every minute. I mean, what must it be like to know you're not 100%, and then you've got a calendar that would make someone half his age, be filled with fear.
Right.
So,
I mean, you just look, you just look out at the next couple of days, right? And, tomorrow and Friday, and of course,
Thursday,
I mean, yeah, I mean, think about it. If it's still raining in the Eternal City, which I think I did a check on the weather, I think it's going to clear up. But is he going to be sitting outside for the beautiful Stations of the Cross at the Colosseum? And the wind and the rain, and even just the wind if it's chilly at night, right?
And I mean, exactly. The temperature goes down. You can go out on some days, not today, but you can go out on some of the recent days when there was sunshine, and you might just need a light jacket. But believe me, you're going to want to put on another layer or two of clothing either early in the morning or at night when you go out. So we shall see. But, even if the weather condition is good, it can be so windy on that hill opposite, that rise, if you don't want to call it hill, opposite the Colosseum.
Right.
So we just have to be careful that the doctor, that the Vatican makes the right choice. The Holy Father, let's put it this way, allows them to persuade him not to go should conditions not be perfect. Because that's Friday. Mm-hmm. And then Teresa, to have Saturday's Mass. Oh, and Friday, I forgot. Of course, he presides at the Passion in St. Peter's Basilica. Then goes home and has a brief supper and is taken to the Colosseum. So, may wise heads prevail, and may everyone understand, should the Holy Father not be seen at, for example, the Way of the Cross, hopefully everyone will understand and simply redouble their prayers. I mean, this is a time of year when we look at suffering and pain, and we look at the Passion of Christ and many others on earth almost simultaneously undergoing their own passion and Way of the Cross. So that's the most important thing for this week. But you know what really stunned me? Monday, after Palm Sunday, of course, where we had seen the Pope unable, did not give a homily. Voice was not 100% perfect. And on Monday, the Vatican released the Pope's schedule for his trip to April 28th to Venice for the Biennale.
To Venice,
And that's
for
a big
the art festival
art thing, you know, every two years. But I mean, Teresa, I got tired reading it. He's leaving the Vatican at 6:30 in the morning. Okay, I didn't want to get beyond that. 6:30 leaving, so but he gets up at 4:30, so he'll be ready. So he's leaving in a helicopter to go to Venice. He has a meeting with inmates at this prison where the Vatican, the Holy See Pavilion is of this Venice Art Biennale. And then he meets artists. He meets prisoners. He later goes to Santa Maria della Salute, one of my favorite churches in Venice, and he's meeting with young people and will speak to them. Then he goes to St. Mark's Square, celebration of Holy Mass, homily, Regina Caeli. At the end of that, he will enter the basilica to venerate the relics of the saint, and then he will take leave of the authorities and return, leave about 1 o'clock from Venice. So all of this, 6:30 in the morning leaving Rome, 1 o'clock in the afternoon leaving the Vatican, and, excuse me, Venice. But Teresa, I don't know how familiar you are with Venice. I can't tell you how many times I've been there. But just getting from one part of the main island or from Giudecca Island where he has to go.
So is
he going to have his own motorboat? But that means when you get on one of the buses. So you go out, the bus pulls up to the pier where you're standing in line. But if you're going to be in anything but a boat bus, if you're going to be in a smaller craft, you have to get down into that craft. So believe me, the Vatican's not going to let him do anything of this nature until they solve all the transportation issues.
Well, this may be a silly question, but since he is taking the helicopter from Rome to Venice, could it be possible that he could move from the islands in the chopper? I mean, is that possible? Do you think that they would do that, since they have the chopper there?
Well, I know Giudecca Island, and the thing is, to be in Giudecca Island, to be at the Church of Santa Maria della Salute, to be there, as far as I know, there's no landing places for...
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
What would happen in some god-awful emergency for some... You know, VIP like the Holy Father, would they? I mean, I can't think of a worse city in which for anybody, for you or me or the Holy Father, they have some kind of a crisis. Just there's transportation on the river, but again, boats, getting someone in a boat, but there'll be lots of boats out, knowing that the Holy Father's in the city, people trying to get a glimpse of him. As he goes,
the crowds, the security, the whole bit, and
you can't imagine
the chopper trying to land in the middle of St. Mark's Square. That's not very practical. But yeah, people don't realize and I love Venice. It's beautiful, but it's difficult to navigate because you do have to navigate because it's all water.
Oh yeah, but you mentioned the square. I think that's the only place I can think of in the city.
That he could land.
Sure,
right.
There are other squares.
But the one that would be large enough for a helicopter, but then you'd have to clear everybody out, which is impractical because you've got, you know, St. Mark's right there and everything else. I know I have to give him a lot of credit before, because as you said, just looking at the schedule for anyone would make you tired, especially starting so early in the morning. But God bless him. We'll just have to continue to pray for him and that he continues to recover.
Sure.
And especially because these events this week, especially, as you know, one of my favorites is the Stations of the Cross from the Colosseum, I think, is so beautiful.
Yes.
And it's just gorgeous. But,
well, I've had the once-in-a-lifetime experience. I've been there as a member of the faithful on Good Friday. But the day I'll never forget is when I went with the media, and we went inside the Colosseum and climbed up to a level, a very high level, Teresa, almost. You looked straight out, and you're looking at the Holy Father. So you see
amazing.
The people processing around. Oh, my gosh. It was just
what an experience.
Absolutely awesome. So
it's on my bucket list to get there for that one day. Joni, thank you so much. You have a beautiful Easter. Buona Pasqua. And we will talk to you, God willing, next week. Joan Lewis, of course. And you can also see her on her website and her wonderful blog and also on At Home with Jim and Joy right here on EWTN. We'll be right back.
From Karen Kingsbury Productions comes Someone Like You.
It's a beautiful morning.
I fell in love with London Quinn in high school.
London.
when everything is lost.
I'm so sorry.
Love will lead you home.
You can't bring her back, man.
Do I look like London?
She always wanted me to find someone like you.
Thank God I do.
Someone Like You. This film is not yet rated. In theaters April 2nd. More information is available at someonelikeyou.movie.
How do we listen to God? Contrary to popular opinion that God only speaks to the privileged few, the Catholic Catechism tells us he communicates to all of us through our conscience. On our hearts, in our most secret core, God has inscribed the moral law. This law calls man to live and to do what is good and avoid evil. In the aloneness of the sanctuary that is our conscience, our Creator's voice echoes in our depths. When he listens to his conscience, says the Catechism, the prudent man can hear God speaking. Conscience is a judgment of reason whereby the human person recognizes the moral quality of a concrete act about to be performed, is already performing, or has already been performed. John Henry Cardinal Newman defined conscience as the law of the mind whereby God speaks to us behind a veil. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
My wife Janet's ancestors arrived in America on the Mayflower, but we never knew that the Catholic missionaries arrived in Florida 50 years earlier. Visit the site where the cross was first planted, where Mass was celebrated, and the first Marian shrine in the New World. Renew baptismal vows in the cathedral and its first baptismal font. Hope you can join us in La Florida, the land of flowers.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at AveMariaRadio.net.
Thanks so much for tuning in to EWTN and Catholic Connection, co-produced by EWTN and Ave Maria Radio. Coming up tomorrow, Cultural Connections with Father Mitch. His reflections on Holy Week, but also taking a look at the Supreme Court case and a beautiful testimony of one of our listeners. That plus you on a Thursday. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connections.